Kids tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and this hour, Mystery. Later on, from a 1946 broadcast of Rogue's Gallery. But first, Mr. and Mrs. North with the story Shoot to Kill. Heard on CBS and later in this Armed Forces Radio Service recording from November 24th, 1953.
Five days a week for 18 months, Sam Mercer has ridden a crosstown bus to work and home, to three rooms in a Coldwater flat, to his wife and baby. But not tonight. Tonight he's making a detour, one that is taking him back to an old life, an old friend, and trouble.
Hey, Larry, mix up some more drinks while I get the door, huh? Okay, okay, don't go to sleep on it. Okay, what's...
Well, for... Look who's here, Sammy!
Hello, Art.
Sammy, boy, I can't believe it. Come on in, kid, come in.
Sounds like you got company.
Oh, just some of the gang mooching drinks. Larry Waller, Pete Gore, Kay Miller. Yeah, you remember Kay.
Yeah.
Well, come in, kid.
No thanks, Art, I better not.
Come on.
No, Art, look, some other time. I just got off work.
So a pal's a pal, even an overall.
Sure, I know, but... Well, Helen will have supper waiting, so I gotta get home. Look, Art, could I talk to you private for just a minute?
Well, sure, Sammy boy, sure. In here.
Thanks.
Well, what's on your mind, kid?
I need some money, Art.
Oh?
Helen's been sick a lot the last 6 months, ever since the baby was born.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I haven't been able to get a decent job. You know how it is for a guy with a record.
Yeah, sure, I know. Well, how much you need, kid?
About $1,000. Maybe I could get by on $750, Art.
Look, Sammy, I'd like to help you out, but I just don't have that kind of dough. $100 or $200, sure, okay. But $750 or $1,000.
Okay, Art. Thanks anyway.
I'd help you if I could, Sammy. You know that.
Sure.
You know, kid, this makes me a little bit sore.
What do you mean?
I mean you. A good guy like you strapped for dough. Boy, that wife of yours must be something.
Let's leave Helen out of it, huh?
How can you leave her out of it when she got you into it, telling you you ought to go straight?
Not it, Willard.
And I want to meet her sometime. I got to see the dame that could put a ring through Sammy Mercer's nose.
Nobody's got a ring through my nose.
No?
No.
You mean you like the way you're living? Working on the docks all day and going home to a wife and a squalling kid every night, packing your lunch in a tin pail? Worrying about bills, trying to decide whether to ride to work or save a dime for a glass of beer.
Look, Art, will you...
Oh, you think you're kidding, Sammy. Look, boy, I knew you when, remember? When you was living in a nice apartment, driving a flashy car, wearing decent clothes, running around with numbers like Kay Miller out there. Well, a guy may stop living that way, Sammy, but you can't tell me he ever stops wanting to.
Why the sermon, Art? You just preaching, or have you got something in mind?
I always got something in mind, Sammy.
Let's hear it.
Well, there's an old guy in the village named Wagner. Owns an antique shop. He don't like banks. Kind of an old miser, you know?
Yeah.
You interested?
Go on.
Well, I hear he's got $5,000-$6,000, maybe more in his safe. It ain't much, but it'll give us some dough to get started again, you know? Give us enough to finance some other ideas I got.
When will we pull it?
Well, the sooner the better. Tomorrow. About 6, just when the old guy's closing up. How about it?
Okay, I...
Good boy. Now, come on out and see the gang. Huh? Have a drink.
Okay.
Well, that's better. Hey, gang, look who's here.
Sammy.
Sure, Sammy Mercer. Welcome home, Sammy boy.
Jerry?
10 to 6.
Oh, gollies, I hope we're not late.
Relax, dear. We've got...
Oh, here, here's the shop, and there's a parking place.
I see it, I see it.
Come on, darling. Hurry.
I'm coming.
Oh, if it's been sold, I'll just... No, it hasn't been. It's still in the window. There.
Where?
Way in the back of the window. See? A genuine Cooperhammer.
A genuine what?
Cooperhammer.
Looks like a bowl with a lid on it.
It is.
Well, then what's a Cooperhammer?
Cooperhammer isn't a what, he was a who.
A who?
Hans Kupferhammer. He was a pottery maker who lived in Bavaria about 150 years ago.
Oh, where did you find out about him?
From Mr. Wagner, the man who owns the shop. He said there are only a few pieces of Kupferhammer left in the world.
Imagine.
And he's asking only $30 for it.
$30? But for that?
But he said if we're interested, he might do a little better. Oh, darling, let's at least go in and talk to him.
Oh, but Pam...
Please.
Oh, okay. We'll talk to him, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just asking to be robbed.
My friend, you don't understand. This is a genuine...
Yeah, Kupferhammer, I know. And this is a genuine $20 bill.
But $20... excuse me. I'll be with you gentlemen in just a moment.
Okay, back your time.
Now, look, mister, lady. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you have this Kupferhammer for $27.50.
Oh, please, Jerry.
Including tax.
Let's take it.
Well... All right.
Good, good. I'll wrap it up.
Oh, never mind. We'll take it this way. Our car's right outside.
Yeah. Here we are. 20, 25,
27, 50. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Jerry, you're a darling.
Well, like I always say, what's the home without a Kupferhammer?
Hello, is there something I can show you, gentlemen?
Yeah, yeah. You can show us a safe.
What?
Lock the door, Sammy.
What is this?
A stick up. Now show us the safe.
No. No. You...
Move. Be quick about it.
Take it easier.
The safe is back here. Here.
All right, open it.
Please, you...
Open it. Now, come on, come on. Okay, now, where's the dough?
In this strong box.
Get it, Sammy.
Yeah.
Is it locked?
No.
All right, open it. Wow. Now, look at that, would you? Looks like you're even better loaded than I figured, Pop.
My money.
Let's get out of here.
My money, you can't have it. Give him my money.
Look out, Sammy.
Give it to me. No. I won't let you have it. It's mine. I won't let...
Thanks,
Art. Hey, old coot.
Let's get out of here.
Wait.
We got the dough. Let's go before he comes to.
He ain't gonna come to. Ever.
Art! Let go! Don't! Art. He's dead. You killed him.
Now he'll never be able to identify us, will he? Come on, let's go.
And now back to Mr. and Mrs. North.
I gotta have another drink.
You've had enough.
Another ride, George.
You've had enough. Cancel that, George. Now, look, Sammy, it's after 8. You gotta get home.
I can't go home. I can't face Helena.
You got to.
Tell you, I can't.
Now, pull yourself together.
You shouldn't have done it.
Oh, shut up.
Shoot an old guy in the back? Kill him like you
would? Shut up. Now, you listen to me. You go on home, understand? Just like nothing happened. And tomorrow I'll meet you at my place and we'll split the dough.
You can keep the dough.
I don't like the way you're acting, Sammy.
That's tough.
I don't like it at all, not a bit.
So what are you going to do about it?
I'm wondering.
Oh, no. Look, Art,
You're making me nervous, Sammy.
I'll be okay.
I'm not so sure. The condition you're in, you're likely to get the screams and start blabbing your head off. And come on.
Where are we going?
You're going home, and I'm going with you. Till you get over these jumps you got, I'm not going to let you out of my sights.
Now let's tuck back down under the covers, shall we? Good night, Jimmy, darling. Sam, is that you?
Yeah.
Well, darling, where have you been? I've been... Oh, I didn't know you had anyone with you.
Helen, honey, this is Art Gatty.
Hello, Mr. Gatty.
Hi, Miss Mercer?
Art's an old friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah. Sammy and I knew each other in the Army.
I happened to bump into him on my way home from work.
So we stopped and had a few beers, you know?
Art's just in town for a few days, honey, so I invited him to stay here.
Stay here?
I know it's a little crowded, but, well, Art doesn't mind.
No, no, of course not. Now, don't put yourself to no trouble, Miss Mercer. Just give me a blanket, and I'll bunk right here on the couch.
Well, all right, but... Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I kept dinner warm, Sam. Will you turn off the oven, huh?
Okay, honey.
So that's Helen, huh? Yeah, she's all right, Sammy. Real all right. It'd be too bad if anything happened to her. Or the kid.
Sam?
I'm in the dining room, Jerry.
Is breakfast ready?
In a few minutes.
Oh, darling, if you don't hurry, I'm going to be... Oh, so that's what you're doing in here. Admiring the morning light on the Cooper hammer.
Do you like it here, Jerry? Or would you like it better if it were in the living room?
I'd like it better if it were back in Wagner's antique shop. Oh, did you bring in the paper?
It's on the table. Mm. I'll go fix breakfast, darling.
Okay. Pam? Hey. Pam, darling, look at this.
At what, Jerry?
The story in the newspaper. Listen, antique dealer slain in holdup.
What? Let me see.
Yeah, there's the story right there.
A Greenwich Village antique dealer was found brutally murdered yesterday evening following the holdup of his 8th Avenue store. The victim, Herman Wagner, is believed to have been shot and killed shortly after 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Yes. Jerry, it must have happened right after we left the shop.
Yeah.
Darling... Those men, the two that came in just as we were leaving, do you suppose...
I was just thinking the same thing.
Jerry, I'll bet they were.
Whether they were or not, I'm going to call Bill Wygant.
More coffee, Sam?
No, thanks, honey.
Better make the sandwiches for your lunch.
You can skip it, Helen. I'm not going to work today.
Oh? Why?
I just don't feel like it, that's all.
Sam... Is something wrong?
What do you mean? Can a guy knock off work for one day without...
I heard you last night, Sam. You were out here in the kitchen most of the time.
Crying out loud, Helen, will you...
Sam, who is Art Gaddy? And what's he doing here?
I told you, I knew him in
That's
the Army.
That's not true.
Helen, will you leave me alone?
You didn't know him in the Army. You knew him in prison, didn't you?
Leave me alone! Leave me alone! Leave me alone.
Sam, what is it? Tell me.
Here. Read it. This is the story here.
Sam.
We needed the money, Helen. Art said it was a soft touch. And I didn't kill him, Helen. It was Art. The old guy went off his nut and jumped me, and Art slugged him, and then he shot him for no reason. He just killed him. I didn't know he was going to pull anything like that. Helen.
Don't touch me.
Helen, I did it for us.
For us?
We couldn't go on like we were.
And now we can live happily ever after, I suppose.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do, Sam?
He ain't going to do nothing. And neither are you. Now come back here and sit down, Miss Mercer. Come back here. Now sit down. Okay. Well, it's just like I figured, wasn't it, Sammy, huh? You just couldn't keep your big mouth shut.
It's all right, Art. Helen won't say anything. Will you, Helen? Will you?
What difference does it make? I don't think Mr. Gaddy is going to take any chance.
That's right, Miss Mercer. I'm not.
Aren't you?
Shut up.
So what are you going to do?
We're going to take a trip. You, me, Sam, and a kid. I'm giving Sam the money to go out and buy a second-hand car. I'm staying here to make sure he comes back. When he does, we're getting out of town.
And then?
And then, we'll see.
Jerry, what time is it?
11:30.
This week or next?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Are you through with that stack of photographs?
Here.
Oh, golly. Darling, I can't look at any more photographs. What does Bill Wagner expect anyway?
Well, he expects us to identify the men we saw in Wagner's yesterday, if they have a record and have been mugged. And when we're through with this bunch, we'll only have 25 more filing cabinets left, so let's... It's Bill now.
Come in, Rollins.
Pam.
Oh, Pam, Jerry, this is Sergeant Rollins.
Hello.
Hi, sir. Well, have you got anything?
Yeah. Two pairs of bloodshot eyes and these.
Those are the ones we've seen so far that bear some resemblance to the two men.
Three of them here, huh? Edward White, Jack Stacy, and Samuel Mercer. Check these, Rollins.
Okay.
Find out where these men can be located, if at all.
All right.
And you two keep looking. This is Fremont Street, Rollins. Turn here.
Yeah.
Golly, Bill, I hope this is one of the men you want.
Well, the other two we picked out obviously weren't. Not with one dead and the other in prison.
Here's 714, Lieutenant.
You two wait here.
Okay.
All right, let's go, Ron.
Right. I'll get the door.
Okay. Let's check the boxes.
Here we are. Mercer, 201.
Second floor.
Yeah. Shall we go? Lieutenant.
What?
Look. Getting out of the blue sedan in front.
Mercer.
Yeah.
Get back. We'll take him here in the vestibule.
Okay.
Mercer.
Police. Police?
We want to talk to you.
To me? Why? What for?
Well, let's go upstairs and we'll tell you.
Upstairs?
I want to take a look at your flat.
Come along, Mercer.
No, no, don't.
Now, look
here, buddy. You can't go up there. Please, Art's there.
Art?
Art Gaddy.
You're a partner on the Wagner job, huh? Well?
Yes. He's up there with my wife and the baby. If you go up there, if you try to take him, you'll kill him.
Do nothing but cry. What's the matter with a kid, anyway?
He has a fever.
So what's the matter with him?
I don't know, but I have to call the doctor. Please.
Sorry.
But...
No.
Listen to me.
I said no.
Listen, I promise I won't say anything ever about you.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I mean it. I swear.
Well, I don't know. Maybe for the kid's sake, you would keep your mouth shut.
I would. I promise you. Let me call the doctor.
Yeah, I'll answer it. Yeah.
Art, this is Sam.
Sam? Hey, what happened to you, Sam? Hello. Sam? Sam, where the devil are you?
In the drugstore across the street, Getty.
What the... Who's this?
Lieutenant Wigan of Homicide.
Cops.
Now listen to me, Getty. Getty.
Yeah, I'm listening, copper.
Mercer didn't squeal on you. It wasn't his fault we've got you.
Got me? What makes you think you got me?
We've got every exit of that building covered, Getty. You can't get out.
No?
No.
Well, if you want me, copper, you got to come and get me.
Now, listen, Getty. We know you've got Mercer's wife and baby in there, but hurting them will only make it tougher on you. Give it up, Getty. You haven't a chance.
Haven't I? Well, you listen to me, copper. Listen hard and remember I mean every word of it. I'm coming out with Mrs. Mercer and that kid.
Getty.
And if you want him to stay healthy, there better be a car waiting for me right out in front.
Don't be a fool, Getty.
I'll give you 5 minutes to think it over, copper.
No matter what you do to Mrs. Mercer and the baby, we'll get you sooner or later, Getty.
Maybe. But I'm in no hurry, copper. No hurry at all.
Donahue, keep those people back.
The 5 minutes are almost up, Bill.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
You think he's bluffing, Bill?
I'm afraid not, Jerry. Rollins, I'm going over to the squad car and talk to Mercer. You go telephone Getty. And tell him he wins.
Okay, copper. But there better not be no tricks about this. I'm warning you. All right, go on and get the kid, Miss Mercer. We're going riding.
No.
Get him.
I won't. I'll...
Now get him. Okay, now hold it. Listen. going out the front door first. Go right across the sidewalk to the blue sedan. The key's in the ignition. Leave the door on its side open and get the motor started. You understand?
Yes.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. You're going out alone. I'll bring the kid.
Jerry, it seems like there should be something Bill could do.
But what, without putting Mrs. Mercer and her baby on the spot? Look, Bill's bringing Mercer over here.
Come on, Mercer, I want you to see this.
Put your cuffs on him, Rollins.
Okay.
What'd Gaddy say?
He's coming out, but he warned us not to follow him. He said when he's out of town, in the clear, he'll let the woman and baby go.
I'll bet.
Well, we'll have to take his word for it.
Look, the front door's opening.
Helen, she's alone.
Jimmy, where's Jimmy? What the...
Shut up, Mercer.
Gaddy will be carrying the baby.
There goes any chance we might have had of picking him.
Mrs. Mercer starting the car.
And here comes your pal, Mercer.
Yeah, it's quite a picture, isn't it? A baby in his arms and a gun in his hand.
Too bad you're going to the chair, Mercer. Maybe it'd be harder on you to spend the next 50 years remembering this.
Art! Art, wait!
Shut up!
Art!
What do you want?
Make him let me go, Art!
Why are you rocking
me? Please, Art! They'll send me to the chair! You're dealing, Art! You can make him let me go! Give me a break, Art! Give me a chance!
Okay, Sammy, I'll give you a break. Let him go, copper! Let him go!
But hang on to him, Lieutenant. You can call his bluff on this one.
You hurt me, copper!
Take the cuffs off, Rollins.
Bill!
He won't sacrifice his protection to help Mercer.
I'm not taking any chances.
Lieutenant!
Take those cuffs off, Rollins.
Okay. All right, you little rat. Run!
Thanks, Rat.
I'll ride in the back.
Okay, Art, get in. I'm right behind you. Right behind you with this.
What the?
Don't turn around. Don't move. Don't even breathe or I'll blow the back of your head off.
Why,
now
you...
Now drop your gun. Slow and easy, Art. Easy. Just open your hand and let it drop. Do it.
You haven't got a gun. You couldn't have. The cops would have...
gave it to me, Art. It belongs to Lieutenant Weigand. Now drop yours. Take the baby, Helen.
Jimmy. Jimmy. Oh, my baby.
Okay, Lieutenant. You can come and get him. You can come get both of us.
Boy, you took a big chance giving Sam Mercer your revolver, Bill.
It was the only thing I could do, Jerry. Mercer was the only one who could get close enough to Gaddy to disarm him without Mrs. Mercer and the baby getting hurt.
Well, I hope Sam Mercer gets some consideration for what he did.
Oh, he will, Pam. He'll get a lot of consideration. Well, I guess I better run along.
Oh, before you go, Bill, I want to show you something.
Huh?
Isn't this a beautiful old bowl?
Old bowl?
Well, it doesn't look it, but it's an antique. A collector's item, really. And Mr. Wagner practically gave it to us for only $27.50.
Oh, say, that's wonderful. You know, that reminds me. I was talking to a friend of mine in the department the other day. He's on the Bunko squad, and he was telling me how many hundreds of thousands of dollars are spent every year on phony antiques.
Oh, I imagine it's horrible the way some people are cheated. Here, hold it a minute, Jerry.
Poor suckers. Yeah, these racketeers make up the wildest yarns about the stuff being made by people who never existed. Now, for example, what about a pottery maker?
A pottery maker?
He was supposed to have lived in Bavaria.
Bavaria?
Let me see. What did he say his name was?
Oh, brother.
Jerry, you dropped my Cooperhammer.
Cooperhammer? That was the guy.
Well, once more, we take our leave of Mr. and Mrs. North.
Are sure to have more exciting adventures next week. Listen in, won't you? There's always mystery well sprinkled with humor on Mr. and Mrs. North. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Mr. and Mrs. North on Tuned to Yesterday from November 24th, 1953 from CBS and Armed Forces Radio. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a broadcast of Rogues Gallery featuring screen and radio actor Dick Powell. It was this radio series, Rogues Gallery, that would inspire another detective show starring Powell later on, one he would become most famous for on the air as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. A couple of weeks after this next broadcast as well, Powell starred in the Armed Forces Radio Service show Command Performance, where he appeared in a skit called The Life of Dick Powell and had his co-star June Allison laughing so hard that she was barely able to get through the skit. This next broadcast from May 9th, 1946 on Mutual, the story called Snowbound.
W. Fitch Company presents Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, you stick shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, you stick shampoo.
The F.W. Fitch Company, makers of Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo and Fitch's shaving creams, presents Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Rogue speaking. Do you ever long for the bracing feel of the freezing wind on your face, hard-packed snow under your skis, and the beauty of the stately pine laboring to support the dust-dry snow on its limb? Does your heart cry out for the tingle of the air as it swishes by your hurtling frame on a toboggan course? It doesn't? Well, neither does mine. I can't imagine what throwback impulse to a pioneering ancestor made me decide to take that vacation at a winter lodge in the mountains, but nevertheless, I did. I laughed with snow down my neck, cheered and clapped my frozen hands when some idiot risked his neck. Did all of the things required of a guest. But I didn't like it. No, I didn't. Until I saw this lovely, lovely view. She was a slow-eyed Latin. She was voluptuous, and she was at the snack bar. I just happened to sit down on the stool next to her. Give me a cup of coffee, will you, Harry, and not too much sugar?
Yes, sir.
I'd like another coffee, please, Harry.
Yes, ma'am.
Hmm. Helps to thaw you out, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I saw you on the ski course this afternoon.
Oh? Is that why you're laughing?
You came flying through the air very gracefully, landed right by me, threw snow all over me.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't do it on purpose, you know. I guess I'd better take some more lessons.
Yes, I know it's impolite of me to laugh.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. If I'm going to be laughed at, I certainly want it to be you who does the laughing.
You may come out and laugh at me in the morning. I'm going to take my first ski jump, and I know what's going to happen.
I'll be there.
One with sugar, one without.
Thanks, Harry. Oh, Harry.
Yes, sir?
Would you mind introducing me to this lovely lady?
Mr. Rogue, this lovely lady is Juanita Mansfield.
Oh.
Oh, Mr. Rogue, are you Richard Rogue, the investigator?
That's right, the celebrated investigator. I'm very happy to know you.
Thank you.
Anybody ever tell you that your eyes are as beautiful as dark pools of fire, left for the god of love for men to scorch in? Oh, my dear, you have the cutest nose in the world.
Mm, my husband. He tells me those things every day.
Your husband?
Mm-hmm. You'll have to meet him.
I'd love to.
Oh, I'm mad about him.
Oh, good. Harry, there's too much sugar in this coffee.
Sorry. I'll give you another cup.
There was too much sugar in my coffee and too much sweetness in the marital situation of the lovely Juanita. There I was, all puckered up for one of those highly romantic resort friendships I'm always reading about. And there wasn't a girl in the place that Abandon would dance with except Juanita. When I got up to leave, I noticed that Juanita had left her compact there on the bar. I picked it up, decided to return it to her in the dining room. I spotted her the minute I walked in. She was lovely in a white evening dress, which signaled all of the curves and soft shoulders. And her husband was a very big guy, ruggedly handsome, black wavy hair and Viking blue eyes. He was as British as St. George or the Dragon, neither of which would have impressed him. He looked vaguely familiar. I walked over to their table.
Oh, hello, Mr. Rogue.
Hello, Mrs. Mansfield. I've been looking for you.
You have? This is my husband, Mr. Rogue.
Good evening, Mr. Rogue.
How do you do, Mr. Mansfield? Juanita, here's your compact. You've left it on the bar this afternoon.
Oh, thank you. I've been looking all over for it.
Oh, I come in very handy sometimes. Oh, by the way, haven't we met before, Mr. Mansfield?
I'm sure we haven't.
Funny, I think we have. You know, I never forget a face. You from Los Angeles?
Pasadena. I am, anyway. David's from England.
Well, I want to thank you for returning Juanita's compact, Mr. Rogue. It was a present from me.
I was so worried.
And now we must finish our dinner, darling. We're playing bridge in half an hour.
Oh, all right, David.
Well, good night, and good night, Mr. Mansfield. You know, I wish I could remember where it was we met before.
I'm sure you're mistaken, Mr. Rogue. We've never met.
My massive intellect was grinding exceeding fine as I returned to my table. My subconscious was flashing a message about David Mansfield. There'd been a fear in his pretty blue eyes when he saw me approaching him. I'd known him before, someplace. And his name wasn't David Mansfield. The knowledge that the guy was a phony chased itself around in my mind without ever catching up with the answer. All through dinner and through a few fast rounds with the slot machines. I have a good memory for faces, and he had a good face to remember, but I couldn't make connections. After losing a bum decision favoring the one-armed bandits, I went to my cabin, opened the door. I was trumped in clubs, right on the back of my ear. I took an on-the-spot lesson in astronomy. Through the pink haze, I noticed that one of the stars in my orbit was beckoning to me. I looked closely. It was Juanita. I followed her timelessly until I was so tired I couldn't keep up the speed. Then I fell a million lifetimes into peaceful oblivion. When I opened my eyes, I was on Cloud 8, my home away from home. There was an economy-sized female bending over me.
Gosh, Mr. Rogue, I didn't think you were going to stop here.
Where's Ugor? And who are you?
I'm Ugor's girlfriend. And Ugor's gone to see about a marriage license.
A marriage license? What's that midget up to? He can't get married without my consent.
Oh, Mr. Rogue, you wouldn't stand in the way of true love, would you?
True love? What does that spook know about love?
Oh, Mr. Rogue. You'll give your consent, won't you, Mr. Rogue?
No.
If you don't, I'll push you over the side.
Oh, no, no. Let me rest up here.
Give your consent.
Never. Hey, stop pushing, you condensed minx. Cut it out. Cut it out.
Over the side you go, Rogie. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Rogue. I'm happy to see your eyes open.
Well, hey, who are you anyway, and where am I?
One question at a time. You're in my cabin, and you can call me Doc. That's as good a name as any. Now, don't try to sit up. You've been pretty close to death, you know.
What's the matter with my shoulder?
You have a nice, clean wound through it. Mm. Yeah. Look like a 32 or 38 revolver wound from a distance of maybe 25 feet.
Who shot me?
I can't tell you that. Now, just lie still. You have plenty of time to recover and ask questions.
Well, how long have I been here?
Quite a spell. Let's see. Today is Thursday. I picked you up at the bottom of that canyon on Tuesday. You'd been lying there unconscious, at least overnight.
Bottom of a canyon?
Yeah.
How'd I get there?
You're asking me a lot of questions I can't answer, Mr. Rogue. From the looks of your head, my opinion is that somebody knocked you out, threw you over inspiration point, and when your fall was broken by the underbrush, shot you. You don't know who it was?
Oh, I've got a good idea. Yeah, I'm beginning to remember now. Tell me, where's Inspiration Point from Red Feather Lodge?
It's about 10 miles back into the mountains.
Oh, I guess I was supposed to be killed, huh?
That's just what you would have been if you hadn't managed to fall near one of my trap lines.
You know, Doc, you don't talk much like a trapper.
That's possible. However, I am a trapper. I like being a trapper. I'm also a prospector because I like being a prospector. No, I'll probably never find any gold, and I'll probably never be a very good trapper. But I'm living the way I want to live, and I'll bet that's more than you can say, Mr. Rose.
Well, I like the way I live.
Mm-hmm. You're a private investigator, and I've been through your credentials. You live on violence and terror and fear and crime. Yes, and sudden death. You like that?
Well, it's exciting.
That's to cover up the fact that you're bored to death with your life, Rogue. No, there's only one way to live. That's my way. Yes, alone.
You saved my life then, didn't you, Doc?
Yes. If I hadn't found you and brought you here and treated you, you would have frozen to death out there if you hadn't died of your wounds. Yes, I saved your life, but you don't owe me anything for that. You'd probably be better off dead. Most people would.
Well, that's a great philosophy. How did you arrive at that?
I lived like you do once. As a matter of fact, I lived like you do for many years. I was a physician, which is a very fortunate thing for you. Oh, I couldn't stand the people. All of them striving to be smarter, more successful, more ruthless than their immediate friends. All of them scheming and plotting and lying and cheating to pile up money, which they never live to enjoy because they're burned out by the time they're 50.
You know, you sound a little antisocial, Doc. But if you don't mind, I'm hungry.
Huh? Oh, yes, of course, I'm sorry, Mr. Rogue. It's been so long since I've had anybody to talk with. I've been chattering like a magpie. Huh?
Oh, no. It's been very interesting, but I'm...
Broth.
Yes.
Yes, I have some broth for you. Strengthening. We'll have you built up to fine shape by the time you're able to leave here, Mr. Rogue.
Oh, but look, Doc. I've got to get out of here right away.
No. I'm afraid not, Rogue. It's been snowing for 5 days. We're snowed in here.
Snowed in?
It'll be weeks before I can get you out of here, Mr. Rogue.
I couldn't figure out whether my benefactor Doc was as daffy as a red hearse or as wise as a barn full of owls, but he was a talker, and he was a good doctor. In 2 weeks, I was as full of health as a Boy Scout camp and as full of conversation as a book of plays. Doc shoveled his way out of his shack, mounted me on snowshoes, and helped me over the 20 miles that was as glistening white as the top of a wedding cake. When we came inside of the Red Feather Lodge, Doc said goodbye. I managed to swagger into the lobby of the hotel. I was freshly shaved, and Doc had cleaned the blood from my shirt and jacket and mended them. In fact, I looked quite presentable. The clerk uncovered his teeth in professional welcome as I walked up to the desk.
Well, well, Mr. Rogue, glad to have you back.
I should think you would be. Wasn't anybody worried about me?
Worried?
Yes. I left rather suddenly, didn't I?
Well, yes, but we know people in your business get called away.
Called away?
Yes, I took the call myself.
Huh?
What's the matter, Mr. Rogue? Why are you looking at me that way?
Surely you received your baggage at your office.
Look, there seems to be something the matter with my memory. Just what happened?
Why, you called. You told us you'd send a check to cover your bill and asked us to please send your luggage to your office in Los Angeles as soon as the check arrived. We did just that. Only it wasn't a check you sent, it was a money order.
Oh, I see. I remember it all now. Oh, by the way, is David Mansfield still here?
Oh, no. Mr. and Mrs. Mansfield checked out. Must have been about 3 weeks ago.
Any forwarding address?
Oh, yes. I'll get it for you in just a moment, Mr. Rogue.
He gave me the forwarding address. It was in South Pasadena. I copied it in my little black book and took the hotel bus into town, where I caught a train for Los Angeles. The wheels in my head clicked it out with the wheels on the train in a rhythm that soon lulled me to sleep in spite of my determination to stay awake and figure my next move. The porter awakened me when we pulled into Los Angeles, and I gathered myself for a taxi trip to my apartment. I grabbed the newspaper on my way to the cab to check up on what the world had been doing without me. And the first headline to catch my eye was a story about the murder of a Dorothy Grandy, a model I knew slightly. She'd been stabbed to death in her apartment. The phone was ringing when I got to my apartment. Rogue speaking.
Hello, Richard. This is Eve Fulton.
Oh, well. Oh, Eve, what goes?
Dottie Granby. You remember her?
Yeah, sure.
She's been murdered.
Well, honey, I know that. I just saw it in the paper.
Well, she and I were living together at the Magnolia Arms. The police are here. Please come over.
Well, look, Eve, I just got into town.
Please, Richard. I'll pay you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, all right. I'll be right over. I went over because I'd always liked Eve, and because I don't approve of beautiful girls being murdered, and because I knew Detective Lieutenant Urban of Homicide would be there. I wanted to see Urban. I did. When I opened the door, he was waiting for me.
Well, Rogie, this time we found the body. Where have you been?
I was out of town. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Richard.
You know the murdered girl?
Hmm? Oh, well, yes, slightly.
Who would have wanted to kill her?
Well, how do I know? If you'll just give me a few minutes, I might be able to tell you.
How well did you know her?
Why, Inspector, you don't think that I...
Ask him to go away, Richard. I want to talk with you alone.
If you have anything to say, young lady, you'd better say it to the police.
I'm representing this girl, Urban.
What does she need representation for? She wasn't under suspicion.
You mean she is now?
Well, if she didn't do it, why would she want you to represent her?
Well, maybe she wants the guilty man caught. You ever think of that?
You'd better come down to headquarters and see me after a while, Rogie.
Well, I intended to do that anyway. I got a little something I want to talk to you about.
Good. I'll be seeing you then.
Hmm.
And you, young lady, don't be making any plans for leaving town, understand?
All right. I'm not going anyplace.
In about an hour, Rogie.
Yeah, it's your office, huh?
Oh, I'm so glad he's gone. Oh, Richard, hold me.
No, Eve. Who did it?
I don't know, Richard. Honestly, I don't. Oh, I'm so glad you came right over. I needed you.
What's Dorothy been up to lately that might get her killed?
I don't know. But she's been up to something. You know how she was. Closed mouth and kind of mercenary.
Yeah, I remember. Go away, will you, Eve? Not go away. We got a murder on our hands. Look, tell me, what's Dorothy been mixed up in?
Well, she's been spending a lot of money lately. I mean, things like mink coats. She's always wanted one. She got one about 3 weeks ago, and oh, all kinds of expensive things.
Well, you think she's been putting the bite on somebody?
I don't know what to think, Richard. She and I had an awful fight a couple of nights ago. The police found out about it from the neighbors, and I'm afraid they're going to think I killed her. I couldn't kill anybody.
Okay. If you didn't do it, I'm going to have to find out who did. Got any money?
Yes, I can pay you, Richard. But...
Give me $200, and I'll let you know when you owe me more.
Oh, all right.
I'll take the $200 now. In the meantime, I'd like to take a look around the joint.
Well, I'll get it for you if you really want it.
I do. Who's Dottie been romancing lately?
Oh, she's been playing the field. There was one Argentine fellow that she was with a lot, and... more than any of the others, I guess, but he hasn't been with her much lately. He decided he liked me better.
Oh, is that what you and Dottie fought about?
Well, yes.
Hmm. What was this Latin type's name?
Eduardo Lopez. He's a millionaire.
Oh, well. Hey, Hey, come here. What's this?
Oh, those wedding pictures.
Yeah. Who's the big blonde groom?
Well, that's Dolly's husband. They hadn't lived together for years.
Oh? They were still married?
Yeah. She was always talking about getting a divorce, but she never did. You met him, Richard. Remember a couple of years ago? Before you got mad at me. He was with Dottie one night when you came up after me. We played hearts. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember, yeah. You got the $200?
Yeah, here it is. I can't afford any more, Richard. You'll represent me for the $200, won't you?
Oh, sure. I'm a very big-hearted guy. I won't be needing any more money from you, honey. On account of I'm just about to solve a murder. I left Eve Fulton's apartment, dropped by homicide headquarters for a chat with Urban, but he wasn't there. So I left him a note and went out to the Mansfield address in South Pasadena. It was a beautiful home, set back in a kind of park. There was a circular driveway up to the front door, but I parked out on the street. I wanted time to work up plenty of hate before I hit that front door. Mrs. Mansfield answered the door herself.
What? Mr. Roga.
Oh, surprised to see me, huh? I want to talk with you and your husband.
You can't come in here.
Oh, you're a punk fortune teller, Juanita. Look out, here I come. Where is that pretty husband of yours?
He isn't home. Please, don't point that gun at me.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's out. I don't know when he'll come back.
No kidding. Well, I'll just wait if you don't mind, or if you do. I want to have a talk with him.
Just walk right in here, Mr. Rogue.
Hmm?
Come on. I won't botch the job this time. Drop your gun. You know, you're a difficult man to get rid of, Mr. Rogue.
Yeah? Oh, I suppose you know, Juanita, your husband tried to kill me back of Red Feather Lodge.
Yes, he told me just a few days ago. He told me you were dead. He was afraid you'd come between us. You knew something.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm quite a disappointment to him. As a matter of fact, to you both.
Really, Mr. Rogue, I'm quite surprised to see you. How on earth did you ever get back here? I was certain that you were done in before I left you up there.
Well, it's a long story, Mansfield. It wouldn't interest you. I want to talk to you about something else.
Yes?
Yes. You know, I finally remembered where it was I met you, David.
Indeed?
Yes. You were married at the time to a girl named Dorothy Granby, but not working at it. I was dating a roommate, Eve Fulton. We played hearts together, and you gave me the Queen of Spades 3 times, and I've hated you ever since.
I know of that early, foolish marriage of David's, Mr. Roque.
Which one of you killed her?
What makes you think either of us did?
She was blackmailing you, wasn't she? Your marriage to Juanita wasn't legal. You'd never been divorced from Dorothy Granby. Dorothy found out about your fortunate marriage, and she was putting a bite on you for money, blackmailing you. She milked you for plenty, and finally you had to kill her, didn't you?
I didn't kill her.
Oh, you know, I can get an indictment against you in 20 minutes with your record and the facts in the case. You're going to die of cyanide poisoning, Mansfield. I'm going to arrange it.
I didn't kill her. I didn't.
I killed her, David.
Juanita, you don't know what you're saying.
I know very well what I'm saying, darling. I followed her home to her apartment, and I killed her. We promised each other nothing could ever come between us. I killed her for us. Now we're free.
You're not quite free of me, though, Juanita.
That's a matter of our convenience, however, Mr. Rogue.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. You've got the gun.
You tried to kill him once, David, to save our happiness. Now...
Yes, dear. But first, I'm interested, Mr. Rogue, in just how you learned all you know about us.
I wouldn't want you to die uninformed, David. I found a wedding picture of you and Dorothy in her desk at the scene of the murder. You were a blonde then. That was before you dyed your hair. You were without mustache, and you were a lot fatter. But I never forget a face, Mansfield. The minute I saw that picture, I knew why you'd been so frightened when I met you at the Red Feather Lodge.
That's unfortunate. Let's go for a little ride in your car, shall we, Mr. Rogue?
Uh-huh, of course. Oh, you love each other very much, you two, don't you?
Very much, Mr. Rogue.
I think it would be awfully nice if you could have a double execution.
It's going to be a pleasure to finish you, Rogue. Come on.
Oh, don't be a patsy, Mansfield. This dame's a murderess. She's going to pay for it.
Shut up.
And if you take a shot at me, you're going to pay with her. You're inside the law now.
Don't listen to him, David.
Don't come any closer, Rogue.
You want to take that walk with her? So that little green door into that glassed-in room with the green chair and the gas that makes you choke and die?
I haven't killed anybody.
Give me the gun, Mansfield.
I haven't killed anybody, Rogue.
No, give it to me. I'll kill him. Save us.
I shot her. Juanita.
Yeah. Come here, pretty boy. Broke my hand. Well, that was the end of the case. David Mansfield tried to kill me in the mountains because he thought I might remember him and ruin his marriage with Juanita's bankroll. Instead of staying dead, I came back and killed two birds with one stone, in a matter of speaking. I caught a murderess. Juanita lived for her execution, and David won't be out of the pen in time to vote for the 40th president. And, oh, by the way, I saw my hermit friend, Doc, a couple of weeks ago. He's living at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Yeah, in a suite of 5 rooms. Found gold up in them thar hills and gave up hermiting. He's getting married next week to a lovely widow with 5 children. Oh, there's nothing like living alone and liking it. You know what I mean? This is Dick Powell again, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed our story tonight. Ray Buffum wrote it. Leith Stevens composed and conducted the music, and Dee Engelbach produced and directed. Be with us again next week, will you? We have a story for you about a birthday party, a locked penthouse, and a homicide. We call it the impossible murder. Thanks for listening, and now here's Jim Doyle.
Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same station, when you will again hear Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Rogue's Gallery, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 9th of May, 1946 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that does it for this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.